Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the D. Whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation.
With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome
to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, your Poetic Energy herself,
bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the currents and the waves
live
at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881.
That's 917-932-8881.
Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183.
That's 1-877-218-1183.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Poetic Energy Radio Show with your host, Poetic Energy, a.k.a. author Michelle E. Alfred. I am very excited tonight about our featured guest this evening. She is the dynamic lyricist, activist, poet, author, mother, and CEO of her own music group under BMI. She comes from Philly, and her name is none other than Sharon Monet. Help me welcome Miss Sharon Monet to the show.
Hello, how are you? Thanks for having me so much.
Sharon, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great.
I am so excited to have you here this evening.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yes, well, you are definitely somebody to talk about this evening with all that you're doing. Such a positive sister. I see with your extended bio, you have accomplished so much, and I really just feel like people need to know more about who you are as an individual, as a lyricist, activist, poet, author, mother, and CEO. So why don't you tell our listeners who Sharon Monet is as the woman that has all of these many hats that she's wearing?
Okay, Sharon is the person pretty much that you named. I am the voice of many that is not, you know, not capable of speaking. I am that child who always wanted to talk but was afraid to. I was that woman that was hurt and scared and afraid but hid, and now I'm free to show and shine and, you know, do what it is that I want to do, and everything that I've ever dreamed of, all those dreams are coming true. So now it's time to share that. I am that. I am every other woman out here that goes through, but I just take mine sometimes a little bit further, but remembering to always step back and help those who also walk, you know, in my shoes.
Absolutely. It was very exciting to, you know, read about some of the inclusions in your book entitled My Side of the Story. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what this book encompasses and why you actually felt you needed to write this book at this time in your life?
Okay, this book actually is a collection of poetry of my journey from pretty much beginning to end. I mean, it's my story, it's, you know, my sister's story, it's my girlfriend's story. Again, it's the voices that are often unheard. It's the women who cry inside but smile on the outside. And at this point in my life, with all the blessings and successes that I'm actually achieving, I think at this time it was time for me to share it. It came so easily, the opportunity. I'm not going to say it fell in my lap, but it was there. It was there. And just with the different pieces that I have performed and the different songs that I have written, the feedback that I was getting was phenomenal. Not realizing that at one point in time, I always thought I was by myself. Like, these tears only happened to me, this pain and these sorrows only happened to my girlfriends. But after sharing, you know, my life with other people, was like I was really touching others. And then that's when I really decided that, you know, I can't keep holding my poems or my words in my book. It's time to, you know, to share them. Because you never know. Your triumph can be someone else's blessing.
Absolutely.
And at this point in time, it's like, you know, I'm capable of smiling. Like, I'm no longer hurting. I'm very happy. But I got here with the cost. All of my, everything that's going on in my life now came with a price. And I'm here to let other people know, like, you know, just because you have a sad day, your day is not over.
Absolutely. No. I am so glad you made it a point to say that you chose to write this book also with the purpose of helping others. Because so many people do not think in terms of it's almost always a money factor. There certainly is nothing wrong with wanting to get money, but it's very important that when you share your voice that you're ultimately helping other people. So, you know, it was so wonderful just to hear you make that comment because not everybody that has a voice to share, you know, has it with the purpose of, you know, eventually helping other people with their words. Now, in your bio, you speak about some of the various poetries that are included in your collection, touch on subjects as homelessness, love, heartbreak, revenge, poverty, and all of those things, which, you know, again, does, you know, fit in with so many other people, you know, other lifestyles that people are living out here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about one of the pieces in the book, regarding heartbreak?
As far as heartbreak, I have a lot of those. I've seen a lot of those days. But a lot of the pieces in the book, more or less on regarding heartbreak, it's just focusing on the trust issues, insecurity issues, believing in other people, believing in yourself, not trusting yourself, doubting. And you know, you'd be surprised how many times, you know, it's something that you want and it doesn't happen. It's something that you desire and it doesn't come through. And ultimately, we, you know, sometimes we'll put up that hard shield and say, oh, it's okay, I'm all right with it. But deep down inside, it's truly a heartbreak. It's, you know, you may want that position or you may have wanted that man or, you know, you may have wanted that woman and, you know, you wanted to, you know, maybe have a girl instead of a boy. I mean, life brings heartbreaks, but the ultimate thing is on how to overcome that. And in that section, I kind of focus on that. Like, even though it's a heartbreak today, but it could be a learning lesson or, you know, it wasn't your time. It wasn't your place to have whatever it is that you wanted, but what you receive is ultimately for you. So sometimes we got to be blessed with what we have and not ask for so much.
Oh, right. Very wise words. Yeah, and the reason why I chose for you to expound more on heartbreak is because so many people are experiencing heartbreaks, you know, through the many things that you name. And it's good to know that if there's a collection of poetry out there that can address those issues and hopefully give you insight on what, you know, what you may be dealing with and ways of how to deal with it. Poetically, you know, so to speak,
right.
Because I feel like poetry is somewhat of a therapy and people and almost like a medicine, because you know, find when people express words in such profound ways, you never think about how it applies to your life until you actually allow yourself to, you know, really engage in the piece that's being that has been written by an author. So, you know, with some of the collections that I've seen you post in the group, you know, you really infuse a lot of power and passion in your words, and it really is relative to a lot of situations that people are dealing with today. So, you know, that's important that you know, people get to know who you are as an author and poet, because, you know, not everybody can really, there are a lot of people who write poetry, but there are not a lot of people who can really touch you where it really matters. You understand?
and I totally agree with you. And I think that's one of the ways where I am so genuine with my poetry, because I'm speaking from experience. If I haven't personally gone through it, I know somebody who has gone through it. So it's easy to really allow you or give you the thinking power of where I am or maybe even where you are. Because sometimes, you know, we get into a situation and we look at it from our vision or our side, whereas there are other different sides in which you can look at that. So I try to address my audience. So I try to write my poetry, not only for my therapy, because poetry really is my therapy. Like, when I'm writing, I'm really venting. Like, I'm really having a conversation with the paper. But I want my readers to also be able to read it and put their life in my life and be like, okay, you know what? I can do what you just said. And when I achieve that and when I hear that, it's like, okay, mission accomplished. To me, that's
all right. I like that. Fantastic. Yes, yes. See, that's what I like, you know, because, you know, I have to get behind someone that's really pushing the envelope to really, you know, effect change, and that's what you're doing, especially covering so much in your collection. And let's talk a little bit about the poverty, because, you know, so many people are faced with issues of poverty, whether it's temporarily or you know, or what have you. It's just so many people are faced with it, especially with the economy being the way it is now. Is that something that you personally dealt with, or is that something that you witnessed someone else dealing with that issue?
As far, I'm not going to say that I pretty much lived in poverty. I mean, I've lived in a ghetto. Some people look at the ghetto as poverty. But, I mean, I have, you know, gone without. I've gone with very little. I've been as a mother, a single mother of two children. I've been unemployed. So, I mean, it's a lot of pieces of poverty that I have personally seen. It's a lot of pieces of that puzzle that, you know, a couple of my friends have saw. And poverty to me, I mean, I don't care how rich you are or how, you know, wealthy you are, there is something still lacking. And that object that is lacking to me, we can look at that as being poverty. We don't always have to look at your socioeconomic status or, you know, your marital status. I mean, a void to you could be poverty. Poverty is only something without. You're without something. You don't have something. So people live in poverty every day, but it's up to us to come out of that, whether it's, you know, physically with our home or we don't have a car or even mentally. So that's to me, I've touched and I've had people touch that. So, yes, that's very important to me. So we need to get out that concept sometimes.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so glad you brought it out in such a profound way, because people think that, you know, when you deal with poverty that, you know, you're just, you know, totally destitute and you don't have a place to stay. But that doesn't mean, you know, that's not what totally encompasses poverty. So that was very well said, you know, for people to understand that. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to touch on that, because so many people, they like to hide from being really candid about what they are in their life or where they have been. But it's so important to be able to relate to an author or a poet, you know, that share their story. And
exactly.
It's very refreshing to be able to you have them be transparent and be authentic about what they're sharing with other people, because that engages people to like you more or to entreat you more when you come out with, you know, different types of things, because they know that when you speak, you're speaking of a truthful place.
Exactly. Like everything that, again, everything that's in my book or a lot of the pieces that I do post, because some of the pieces that I do post in our group, it's not in this book, it's in the next book, or it just could be a freestyle that just came to mind. But the best thing that for me is not only just speaking from experience or speaking from knowledge, it's speaking from the heart. And when you speak from the heart, that keeps you grounded. It keeps you who you are. I mean, yeah, I'm a poet, I'm an author, I'm a CEO, I'm a mother. But still at the end of the day, when all of that goes away and the kids go to bed, I'm still Sharon. So when you speak from the heart, it removes you. it removes you from, you know, either standing higher than life or, you know, thinking, okay, because I'm here, you know, I'm untouchable. No, like, you know, I was unemployed. I'm a single mom. You know, I've dealt with everything everybody else dealt with. I was married. I'm now divorced. I have two children. You know, I deal with everything. I go to work. Writing is not my day job. I work with the Department of Veteran Affairs from 9 to 5. my life is everybody else's life. I just have a talent that I'm able to give back and share. But I'm who you are. I just live in Philadelphia. That's really it.
All right. From our sister. All right. I love it when people are very candid and very real, and you seem so down to earth. And, you know, I like it that you're being very transparent and really just speaking from the heart. And, it's just a different place. You know, everybody is, have a little bit of something that they have dealt with or going through in their life. And there's nothing to be ashamed about where you are in your life. It's just important where you're trying to get to, and as long as you get there, you know.
Exactly. And use that situation or that experience as your stepping stone to get to where you want to go. I mean, I can look at one point in my life, which was 2008, when I lost my job and was almost evicted, had no money, pretty much at the lowest of the low of the low. All I had was a pen and paper and Jesus himself.
Okay.
I had dreams. I had everything. And then 2009 came, people started recognizing my music. 2010 came, I got a publishing contract through Purposeful Publishing. I didn't see none of that. I never knew it was possible. All I saw was this girl who was trying to raise her two children, trying to find a decent job to put food on the table, provide for Christmas, do everything that a mother is supposed to do. But in light of that, of those struggles that I went through, by the way, I was never evicted, but out of the light of all of that, I'm here. So sometimes everybody has a season, but every season must change. And we have to be able to take our pain or our past to bring that season to spring or summer or whatever you desire. But let's not let our past or our hurt hinder that.
Absolutely.
So that's a lot of what I touch on.
Yeah, I love to put that because people are ashamed of where they, of the things they have to step through in order to get where they are. And so they kind of leave things unsaid because of, possible ridicule from their peers. But it's so important that people know the path that you had to travel, because it's so much more powerful. Because look at where you are today. You have your book, you're writing music, and we're going to talk about that, ask you a couple questions about that in a second. And you're thriving. And one of the things that I really admire about what you just said is about you have a 9-to-5. And you're keeping it real, because a lot of people do not keep it. They want to make it seem like, okay, I'm this author, this poet, and I don't have to work. But in the reality is that you have to do whatever it takes to pay your bills, take care of your family. It doesn't matter if you're an author or poet that has to work. It just means that you have to work to maintain your household. It doesn't mean that you're not successful as a writer or a poet.
Exactly.
It just means that you are a responsible person and understand what you need to do to run your household.
Exactly. Like I tell some people, I'm like, my day job pays for my poetry and my author and everything else I'm doing. So by the time all that money goes into one account, I'm fine.
All right.
But in the meantime, again, I'm still trying. And we can't forget that. We can't become bigger than who we really are, because at any moment in time, all of that can be taken from us. So we still have to keep some type of foundation in line. So if things do get hard, it's not the end of the world. And it's not like, okay, I'm really, in a state of depression or my mind is really gone. No, if you allow yourself room, a good cushion, then, if something do fall, you are still fine. And that's where I'm at in life. No matter what happens to me, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm okay.
You really sound like a truly grounded and wise sister. That is so refreshing. I just love to hear that because, especially when people, all of our listeners, people who may be going through some of the things that you touch on in your collection, My Side of the Story, they'll be able to say, okay, Sharon, you know, she experienced this, or she knows someone that's experienced this, and through her poetry, I can see my victory, and
exactly.
I can, you know, walk down this path and have my life change. So, you know, that is very refreshing to hear this, and I know for sure that what you're saying this evening is going to be relative to someone else's life and is going to help them in the struggles that they're going through. Now,
definitely,
talk,
and that's
your
sole
purpose.
Purpose.
Yes. And you said a little bit about music. Tell us a little bit about the musical side of you.
Well, coming from a musical family, my dad was a drummer, had his own band back in the 70s, and being raised in a house full of albums, 8-tracks, 45s, and everything else, I just picked up the love of music. And everyone knows great music equals great lyrics. And when you have songs by, you know, your late greats, Nat King Cole, or, you know, your Gladys Knight, late great Tina Marie, you know, Patti LaBelle, Temptations, those are lyrics, those are songs. And a lot of their stories, you know, a lot of their songs are stories that, again, we can relate to, which is something that I do. So when I kind of put my poetry down, because at one point in time, I put the poetry down and I was like, you know, because my poetry was like my diary. I really didn't want to share it with no one, but I still wanted to share my gift of writing. So I decided that I was going to start writing songs, because that was something that I do all day. When I wake up, I get dressed to music. I get in the car, take the kids to school to music. I'm at work, music, come home, still more music. So I just, you know, started writing and then got some instrumentals and started practicing and trying to add my poetic vibe to a beat, trying to sing like Tina Marie and Gladys Knight, trying to tell everybody that neither one of us will be the first to say. So I love that song. I love that song.
Yes.
So, you know, I just wanted to flip it and put my spin on it. Because, I mean, I love the music today, but it's still some of that heartfelt ballad of yesterday that, to me, is missing. I mean, I know every era brings new, you know, a new story, a new path, but being an old school type of girl, I kind of wanted to keep that trend going. So I just started writing songs, and then I connected with Samandy Corbin down in Atlanta, Georgia, 912 James Street. He's an independent label. And sent him a couple songs, and automatically he was like, yes, yes, yes. That's all he kept telling me. He didn't say nothing else to me, but yes. And I was like, okay, so what does that mean? So then my music was showcased on a couple of the CDs that he put out. They were sung by Veronica Hayes and Michael Crowder himself, Sherry Franklin from here in Philadelphia, Summer Fitch from LNS here in Philadelphia, and ML The True from Jackson, Mississippi. So my words got to really get around, placed on CDs and heard all over the world. And then, you know, that just became my avenue of writing until it was like, you know, it's time to come back, you know, to poetry. But my music was pretty much, even though it wasn't my avenue, you know, of my poetry, it was just my, you know, doubt. That was that doubt in me. I wanted to put it out, but I didn't want to put it out. So I just went around the mulberry bush and did the music, and there I am. So music is a great part of me. That is who I am. I am music. I am that girl who listens to all kind of music. And I just went to the Grammys telecast party this past Sunday. Been going to that every year for the past 3 years. So, yeah, I'm really involved in the whole music scene, writing scene, trying to get the whole engineering thing down. I love the big board, pushing buttons, making people sound like Mariah Carey, but it's fun. It's fun, but right now I'm just comfortable with the music. But, yes, that was a journey in itself. So, but I have fun with it. As long as I have a pen and paper, I can make you great music or I can blow you away with poetry. So.
All right now. Isn't it amazing how God just writes things into your life? You go down one path and then other things, it just evolves from that and becomes to be great So that's wonderful that you are using the poetry and the music and just building something. I already see it, you know, happening
exactly.
for you on a greater scale. So, you know, kudos to you. I am just
Thank
so proud
you.
Of you. I'm so proud of you. You know, you got a new
one
another. And it's just, you know, when you have that moment where you are able to say something wonderful about a person that's doing great things, we should do that, to learn to do that, and be very genuinely happy for people. And at this
yes.
moment, I am genuinely very happy for what you have accomplished and what you shall accomplish in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was a lot of hard work, and you're right. I've never envisioned any of this. Never envisioned. I wrote poetry, but being a poet was not me. Because I'm the quiet, I mean, I have fun, but I'm the quiet one. Some of my friends probably won't contest to that. But I am. I don't like the spotlight. I don't like the glitz and the glam. So I'm in the corner, you know, by myself. But, you know, sometimes, you know, things happen. And when God pulls something in your face, you can't say no.
Absolutely.
I've learned that. You can't say no. When opportunity comes, you can't run. Because if you want it 10 years from now, you may not get it. So you enjoy
Absolutely.
The moment while you have it, and that's where I'm at.
Yes, very wisely said. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be back with more of Miss Sherrod Monet.
The website www.freegrantsforwomen.com offers free information and online easy applications for free federal government cash grants that you never have to pay back for women to help pay for education, new business startup, or to simply get out of debt.
All right, that was a quick commercial break. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Poetic Energy Radio Show. We are on the air with our featured guest, Miss Sherrod Monet. Sherrod, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again. Thank you.
Yes, I've just been so overjoyed with what we've talked about now. Let's talk about a little bit what truly inspires you outside of, you know, the recognition or anything that you may get from what you're doing. What inspires you? Who inspires you?
My children. My children inspire me. They are the best little bundles of joy ever. They are. And even though I could probably tell you right now, and I am exhausted, I am still so full of life. My boys right now is my biggest inspiration. Shout out to Christopher. That's my oldest. He's 9. And then I have my Craig, and he's going to be 4 on Friday. So my boys are my inspiration. They have been truly by me. Well, they really don't have a choice. But they have been by me through everything, from the highs, the lows, the mediums, the latitudes, the longitudes, the tears, the happiness, everything you could possibly think of. My boys have been right there. They never judged me. They never said, "Mommy, you know, this is a bad mistake." Everything. My biggest fans are my boys. My mother is a great inspiration. She was the first one, actually, when I was 12. She was the first one to tell me that my poetry, that I should stop what I'm doing, because I played the flute, first year flute,
mm-hmm.
and I decided that I was going to start writing. So I took my first poem to her, which was entitled Alone, and I said, "Mommy, look at this." And that poem was about homelessness, because I just got tired of seeing people sleeping on the street while we were shopping at JCPenney's for school clothes. So that really bothered me. So I just wrote an awareness poem about, you know, homelessness. And I gave it to my mom, and she shared it with my dad. And next thing I know, I was speaking at the United Negro College Fund banquet. 12, this little girl with this white dress on, speaking big words that I probably couldn't even spell at that time. But my mom actually was that one that was, you know, she first put some type of hope in me to keep it moving. Before, it was just, you know, just writing jitter, because I was never a child that really expressed my feelings. You know, if I was mad at you, I would never tell you why. But you knew.
but I wouldn't tell you. If you did something to me, I would never tell you. You do, but I never told you. And I would just write it down. And I used to tell people, if you want to get to know who I am, read my poetry. And my mom was the first person that actually told me to take it somewhere. And then that's what kept me writing. Then when I stopped writing, she was like, okay, you need to keep writing. Then when I would get mad at her, she would say, okay, you know what? You don't have to talk to me right now. Go write about it and bring it to me. And at some points in my life, that's how I communicated with my mom, by writing it, because I was not the talker. So my mom was a very big inspiration on me actually still, you know, trying to keep this dream alive, because it is who I am. It definitely is who I am. I can write you something maybe in 2 seconds about what I'm feeling, whereas it would take me 3 hours to tell you. So my mom is truly a great inspiration. My dad is my musical side of things. That's my dad keeps my songwriting life together. We always challenge against who wrote this, or my dad has like all these albums in the basement, but there's a couple songs that I have that he doesn't have in the basement. So we go back and forth with the music. So my dad is my musical inspiration. And then I have tons of my aunts and cousins and my brothers, my sisters, who, you know, are there to support me. My oldest sister is actually my makeup artist, and we always have our little prep talks on, you know, because I'm not the girly girl of the bunch. I will take some jeans and Tums in a minute. Keeping it real. Give me some jeans and Tums. I'm cool. But my sister Janine actually has been, she has been a lifesaver with trying to, you know, prep me up a little bit. So I have a lot of great people in my corner at this time. But right now, you know, my greatest inspiration is my mom, my children, my family, my whole entire family. I really can't even name individually. It's just my family. Family, I have great friends who's been there, some that, you know, allow me to cry on their shoulders, some that, you know, will come and take the boys and be like, go to sleep because you're tired. So I just have a great circle, a great team. So everybody right now is my inspiration. If me and you talked on the phone, you could be a great inspiration, because I may write about it. Be careful. I may write about it, but, I mean, I get my inspiration from a lot of different people, so... A lot of different people. I don't do this by myself. This is not my journey. This is our journey. I'm just a woman that tells it. So.
Yes, love that. That is so fascinating, because my next question was, you know, who are your greatest support system? And which is, family is very important to have a strong support system around you, especially when you are such an accomplished person and you're doing so many wonderful things. It's very important to have that team around you to help keep you grounded, but also to help keep you inspired. And that's one of the things that is very important, because, you know, there's so many people who don't have a support system often find themselves not being motivated, or feeling less motivated when they're trying to do some of the things or accomplish some of the things you have accomplished in your life. So, again, kudos to you. And I know that, you know, anybody that's listening to you right now will definitely be encouraged to, you know, follow through or push forward to realize their dreams, and, you know, and not be, down swiped or away from their dreams because they don't have the type of people around them that they need. So you can reach out to other people and find inspiration to keep yourself on track with your goals.
Exactly, and it's not even a lot of times me. I'll have people to call me to check me. It ain't me just always calling people. People will call me and be like, okay, so you know this, and this. And I'm like, yes. So, I mean, you know, it's a revolving cycle. Some people who know the industry constantly remind me, okay, you're Sharon first, you're mommy, you know, you're the employer, and you're the writer. And I'm like, I got you. So, I mean, it's all about your team. I mean, it's some days where I may think I don't have a support team. Like, everybody's against me. I may throw out an idea and I get nothing but negativity back, which can happen, because you may be dreaming in one sense, but the reality of that sense is not really in your favor. But you still don't let that, you know, be your aim to, you know, quit or drop out or say, now I'm so discouraged that I'm not going to move forward. Everybody's not going to agree. Every person on your team is definitely not going to agree. But you just use, you know, you have to be open-minded. You definitely have to be open-minded. But I got a lot of haters, too. Michelle,
right,
I got a lot of haters.
What would the world be without haters, huh?
I got a lot of love, Michelle. That's a whole nother hour conversation. But I love them too. I love them too. Haters are my motivators, and my support team keeps me motivated. So there you go.
Absolutely, I love that line. Haters are my motivators. All right.
Exactly.
We're such a great collection together. You know, what process did you actually go through to actually bring my side of the story together into a full manuscript and now to the state of being published now? What process did you actually go through as far as writing, you know, preparing for it?
Tears. It was tears. Just tears. No, it was, the process was kind of long because I've written so much stuff over the years that I kind of just hid in closets and gave to my mom to put in file cabinets and hide under books. So it was like the whole scavenger hunt to find stuff. And then I still have stuff that my mom just found that I'm probably going to try to go through and put in book two. But, I mean, the process was just getting things that were relatable, different pieces that people could understand. Because I'm so into relating. Like, if I tell you a story, if you don't relate to it, it's going to go over your head. So it was worthless to me. So
right,
when
absolutely.
You have a mindset of, you know, inspiring, teaching, motivating, encouraging, you have to write that. You have to be who you write. And that was my whole process when it came to writing. I knew this book was going to be my side of the story, not only because it was intriguing and it catches the eye when you read it, because it almost sounds like gossip. It's like, oh, my God, she's telling her side. Girl, you know I want to hear what she had to say about that. So, but, you know, I really wanted to bring things in this book that people could relate to, whether it was the love portion or, you know, the heartbreak or getting revenge, because no matter how God-fearing you say you are, if someone do you wrong,
right,
you're going to think or have a thought on how to get them back. So it's just being real. Like, let's stop, you know, saying what we are and live who we say we want to be. And this book just highlights all of that. It just highlights all of that. So I just wanted something that was relatable, something that if you picked up, if, you know, if your teenage daughter picked up, if your grandma picked up, if she can't relate to not all of the pieces in the book, she can at least relate to one. And if that one makes her smile, or if that one say, you know what, I went through that, and God Almighty, I have been delivered, but thank you for the journey. My job has
all
been
right.
completed.
I
so
love it.
That process. That's why I said tears, because I wrote so much stuff over the years, and it was like, no, that's not good enough. No, that don't sound right. So it literally was sitting down trying to compile real work, real stories, real poetry, real experience. So you as the reader, you know, not only can you see, oh, this is a great book of poetry, but it can be, oh, this can be my testimony, or, oh, I went through the same thing and I'm not alone. Because we tend to fall into that whole circuit of, oh, my God, I'm the only one living like this.
Yeah.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Truly, no, you're not. And that book reflects that. No, you're
all
not.
Right.
Everybody
so
has it for me. So.
I'm so glad you said that, because so many people out there do think that when they're going through trials and storms that they are the only ones that are going through it. And when it's so
exactly. Exactly. Sitting there mad and upset, like, I can't talk to nobody because don't nobody understand. Yes, we do, sweetie. That's what I tell people, but I was that girl too. I was her. I was the one that said, I'm not telling a soul, because can't nobody tell me how to be a single mom going through a divorce. Don't nobody know what it is to go through a divorce. Please, half of the people ain't even married. That was me. That was me. Like, how can you tell me how to be a mom and you don't even have one child? Please. That was me. But not knowing that you don't always have to be in that role to just share a kind word or a happy thought or even a scripture. So we can't shut ourselves, you know, out from the world when we're going through. Like, I've realized that's the worst time to do that. That's the time where you should be open or you want to be open. So
absolutely. I so agree with that. One thing I do want to say about the title of your book, My Side of the Story, that almost sounds like it could be a stage play. Do you ever see anything
like that? You know somebody? But I'll take some classes. You know somebody who want to put it in the stage play? I sent it to Tyler Perry. I sent my book to Tyler Perry. So let's pray.
All right.
let's pray. Yes. I sent it to Tyler. Yes. Somebody else told me that.
Yes, I love that title. I kept listening and looking at your title, I said, My Side of the Story. That seemed like it became a great stage play title. And really, you know, with the life experiences that you have in there, you can formulate it into a stage play because it just deals with life, and so many people will be able to relate to it. So, yes,
exactly.
I just love that title. And one other thing that I want to say about your book is that I love the cover.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It brings out it's your picture, your own picture with, it's just so relative, and it just goes perfect with saying my side of the story and just displaying yourself. And it's almost like through the cover, you can see your heart delivering a message to the world.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the way I see it now.
I love that, though. And that's pretty much why I actually had my publisher, Yolanda, actually did my cover. And that's actually why I chose this actual design to put on a book, because just the way that she looked, her head kind of gracefully hanging to the side like she was ashamed, but the color in her shirt was her new life. So, I mean, that picture says a lot. I mean, we can be down, but we can have full of life, too, if you just know your journey, you know. So, I like that, though. I like that. Never thought of it. But you're so true, because inside is my heart.
And that's
your life. I mean, on the outside, we have a shield. Again, you can be crying inside, but you have the biggest smile on your face. Or you can be crying on the outside and have the most brightest sunshine in your heart. So that is true. So however that book comes to you, how it stands out to you, now you're able to tell your side of the story through my eyes and my vision. So,
all right. I'm loving it. We do have some callers on the switchboard, so we're going to see if they have something to say to Miss Monet.
Okay.
All right. Caller from the 267 Exchange 593. You are on the air with the Poetic Energy Radio Show and our featured guest, Sharon Monet.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, Craig. Yes.
How are you this evening? You have something to say to our guest?
Yes.
This is my son.
Okay.
Hi, Craig.
Hello, Carlos.
Yes.
Hello, Mom.
Hi, Chris. Yes. This is my oldest son. Say hi to Miss Michelle.
Hi, Miss Michelle.
Hello. How are you, dear? Are you the upcoming birthday boy?
No.
You're not?
Mom.
Okay. That's a different word. I was going to wish you a happy birthday. But it's so wonderful you called in the show for your mom to support her. That is wonderful of you to do that.
Thank you.
All right, boys, get ready for bed. I'll talk to you guys later, okay?
All right.
Love you. Bye.
Goodbye. We have more callers on the air, so we're going to take the next caller.
Okay.
Caller from the 215 area code. You are on the air with the Poetic Energy Radio Show and our featured guest, Sharon Monet, who we have on the mic.
Mike, yes, you have me on the phone. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Who was me?
Me? My baby girl's been there.
Hi, Dad.
Oh, you have all your family. That's so wonderful. Yeah.
And how are you tonight?
How are you, Dad?
I'm good. Oh, hi, Dad.
What's up?
Stephanie. Just got finished talking about you.
What are you going to say to your daughter tonight? What do you want people to know about your daughter this evening?
I want people to know everything within the book is true, precise, concise, and on the money.
All right. That's a father speaking on behalf of his daughter. Alrighty. What are some of the best qualities that your daughter has as a person?
Well, writing is number one. The ability to express herself through any means necessary is number two. And just the urge to just get out and do, be a free spirit, and just connect with the world and people.
That is awesome. Great, Dad. We are so glad that you called into the show and just gave us that little bit of insight about Sharon Monet. We are so fortunate to have her on the show. All righty, we are going
and
to...
And, Sharon, you just keep on plugging and plugging, because one day you're going to be the main Maya. Let's put it that way.
Thanks, Dad. I appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Dad, for coming up to the Poetic Energy Radio Show.
All right.
All righty. Good night. We're going to keep the show going. That's wonderful. See, that's how families should do when you are on the radio show, your family, if no one else calls in to support you, your family should. So that's so wonderful, Sharon. You have such a great support system around you.
Thank you.
We have other questions to ask you. Now, you kind of did talk about, early on you started writing. Your mother turned in one of your poems entitled Alone. And you won an award for that particular poem, right?
Yes.
And,
I won the award through the National Library of Poetry. Yep.
Oh. What did that moment feel like as a child, if you can reflect back to that moment? What did that feel like, getting that award as a 12-year-old child for something that you have written?
Scared. Nervous. It was a moment. It was surreal, basically. That's what it was. It was very surreal. I didn't want to believe it. Even though I wrote it, it was still like I didn't write it. I even had a moment where I didn't even want it. It was like, I shouldn't be honored or awarded for something that I love doing. Like, this is not my job. I'm not doing this to win. I'm doing this to educate. So, even though I was grateful for it, it was a lot of mixed emotions. But it gave me the drive to keep writing, because at that time I knew I was doing something positive. And that's all I ever really wanted my writing to be, was something positive, regardless of how much hurt or pain or anguish was in it. I still wanted you to walk away with something. So, but it was very scary. It was very scary, and then after with that award, my poetry got published in the first book called Tears of Fear, a publication that was brought out by the National Library of Poetry, in Washington, D.C., and it was huge. It went out all over the world, and I'm like, oh, my God, everybody knows this little girl, and I don't know anybody. Who does this? So it was crazy, but I kept doing it, because at that moment in time, I knew what my mom said was right. And that's when my life as a writer began. I just got deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper because, you know, people wanted to hear what I had to say. So, and I had a lot to say because I really didn't talk much. So it was time to go to work.
What would you say to a person that wants to, who writes poetry, but feel like, I'm not sure if I really want to do this, but, you know, they have like wavering feelings that they want to do it and they don't want to do it, but they need that little bit of motivation and encouragement. They may not have the strong system that you have as far as support around them. What would you say to that type of person who really wants to try to stab at, you know, being successful with their poetry?
Call me. Call me. I was there. Call me. Don't give up unless you talk to me. No, you definitely call me though. But I mean, I know, you know, being a poet or expressing your feelings, the biggest fear I think with this whole position is wondering what other people is going to say, or being judged, or not being accepted, or being ridiculed, or being downed, or just all the negative things that we fear as humans. Nobody wants to put their heart on the line and hear it get crushed by a critic or someone who reads your book. But we have to look at, a lot of times, just look at all of those possible negative instances and use that as ways to promote the goodness in yourself. Not everybody's going to like what you do. Not everybody's going to, you know, adore what you write about. Not everybody probably can relate to your story. But if one person do, then, you know, your mission is accomplished. Like they say, each one teach one. All you need is one. You don't need a community. You don't need a whole village. You may not even need a whole nation. But if you can reach one person with your story, then use that to be your motivation. But, I mean, you know, you can doubt it. I'm serious. I mean, because I doubted it. Because, again, like, even the poems that is in my side of the story, the ones pertaining to me, I would have never shared about maybe 5-10 years ago. Never. Never. Just on a basis and a fear of what is people going to think of me. Because I used to be so interested and so concerned about how people viewed Sharon that I hid a lot of Sharon. Whereas to now, Sharon has undergone so many obstacles, so many, you know, trials, tribulations, health issues, financial issues, marital issues, that right at this point in time I could really care less. Because Sharon is doing what Sharon wants to do and Sharon is happy. So to anyone who wants to do it, who's interested in doing it, who has a desire to do it, put the outside world away and focus on what it is that you want to do. And again, if one person likes your book, and if two people love your book, you are a success story.
Absolutely. I so agree with that. And just to, you know, kind of point out, you know, success does not come without struggle. And,
exactly.
It's just to the point where if you are in a position where you want to accomplish being a successful poet and, you know, a writer of music or anything of that sort, you got to find a place where you don't care, like you just said, you don't care about what else no one else is saying about you, that you're going to push for and accomplish your goals. Because the one thing about it is that you got to think about it. When people are hating on you or trying to discourage you, they, in their eyes, you really are comparably better than they are. So they will try to use tactics to discourage you from accomplishing the things that you have in you to accomplish, because they can see themselves doing it. So that's one way of learning how to, you know, get from under that stump of, you know, caring about what people are saying and start doing what it is that your heart desires you to do or to accomplish in life.
Exactly. And then we have to also realize, who are we living for?
Exactly. Absolutely.
Are we living for us? I mean, our lives is, you know, ultimately is our happiness. If you're happy, it's because you're happy. If you love, it's because you're loved. It's not because of what others say and what others do. I mean, yes, we do want to be liked and appreciated amongst our peers, but once we come to the realization that that's not always going to be, then you will be able to fly much freer in what it is that you want to do. But not only can your friends be your worst enemy, you can also be your enemy.
Right.
So absolutely. We have enough negativity out here. So at least you fly. And if you don't meet that many on the, you know, once you really get out there, it's going to be okay. Because sometimes you're going to, some first couple weeks, months, years, it's going to be tough.
Absolutely.
It took me, I started trying to do this in 2008. My book just came out February 1st, 2011. And from 2008 to 2011, it was hard. It didn't come easy. It was times that I was away from my kids. It was times when I was sitting here trying to write and nothing came to me. It was times when I had this great song and nobody picked it up. I mean, it was just a lot of times when it was like, oh, my God, why am I trying when nobody's hearing me? I'm writing. I'm giving 100%, but nobody is listening to me. Nobody's paying attention to me. I'm going to quit. I'm tired. I'm not doing this anymore. But when you always hear it in the back of your mind, or, you know, you have that angel on your shoulder saying, it's not your time yet. Keep writing.
Absolutely.
You're not finished struggling yet. So you have to go through it so when it does happen, it is appreciated more.
Absolutely.
It is appreciated more. So, no, definitely don't give up. Don't quit. Don't find any reason to say I'm done. Don't put the pen down. Just close it up for a minute, take a nap, and go right back to it. Because when it's your time, it's going to overflow abundantly. Trust me.
Absolutely. Trust me. And that truly is a time and a season for everything. And truly, when your season comes, you definitely will reap the harvest from that season. And,
exactly.
You know, the show has been going wonderfully well. And we have 3 more minutes remaining in the show. But with my side of the story, it's so important that we go out and get this book. Sharon, tell us how we can get a copy of My Side of the Story.
You actually can go on, my book is on Amazon. My book is on BarnesandNoble.com. You can also get the book from Books A Million. Borders have the book. It actually will be coming up for the Kindles and everything shortly. So if you're not friends with me on Facebook, become friends with me on Facebook, and that's author Sharon Monet on Facebook, or my website, www.sharonmonet.com. But right now the book is available, $12.99. Or if you're in the Philadelphia area, you can hit me up and we can connect or whatever, and you can get your copy. I have a lot of book signings coming up. March 5th, I'm at the Urban Knowledge Bookstore in Cheltenham Mall. March 19th, I'm at Primetime in Cheltenham Mall again. They want me in Cheltenham Mall, so I'm going. March 29th, I'll actually be at Horizon Books, which is in the gallery. That's in Philadelphia as well, Gallery East 9th and Market. April 2nd, I'll actually be in New Jersey at Borders. April 15th, I'll be at Black & Nobles, and that's in Philadelphia on Broad and Erie. And April 30th, I'll be at the Dayton Book Expo in Dayton, Ohio.
All right. We have 1 minute remaining. We'd just like to take this time to thank all of those tuned in, our global listeners, as well as all of the people in the chat room. It's been wonderful hanging out with you all. And we'd like to give a special thank you to our guest, Ms. Sharon Monet. She is just a fascinating guest, and we are so blessed to have had her on the show this evening. We have put her information into the chat room, so if you will connect with her and go out and buy My Side of the Story. You heard her tell the story of what we can expect from this great collection. So let's support our sister with purchasing her book, My Side of the Story. Sharon, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. You were a great guest. And I
thank you so much. Thank you.
All of your future endeavors. And please, anytime, you are welcome to the Poetic Energy Radio Show. Again, God bless you and all that you do in your future. We'd like to say good night and keep shining, girl, because you're headed for greatness.
Thank you so much. I really, truly appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Right. You're welcome. Good night, all. God bless you.
Good night.